Good. Ken couldn't make it because he got gout, a rich man's problem. Don't know what, suddenly asked him to come to church, then the knee got inflamed. I said, better pray for you. But Ken, good to see you. I presume your wife, Koyi, is with you, so welcome. We'll see you soon physically, I'm sure. Yip, is good to see you. Wing is from, where are you, in Bangkok? Wing is in Bangkok. And then the, who is Wu Lao Shi? I don't know. Not related to me, right? Oh, my family, okay. Hello, Wu Lao Shi. Oh, that's my sister from Hong Kong. Wow, we're getting extra jurisdictional. Very good. Okay, thanks. The rest of you are here. We're getting big. Arrangement of the chairs is a sign of, I think, easing of measures. We will hopefully one day, I've always said, Karen, we really, really one day want to be able. Come, Wilson and Stephen, as punishment, sit in the front row. I'm kidding. Can I just come for it? Come, have a seat. We really one day want to have, like once a month, after we finish here, we have food immediately, you know. Some foie gras and some red wine. I mean, you know, motivate those people who work very hard. But that's really what I want to do. So good shout out for those who are here with us for the first time. I think Evelyn is here. Welcome. Kurt, we have not seen for a long time. Kurt, you know why the fact of the matter is that Kurt has not been around for so long, right? That the welcome team haven't seen him before and then come to him and then they forgot that they don't know that he's an old bird. But it's good. And we got a welcome team that are really so super enthusiastic. My sister and Penny, so thank God for you guys. And Chris and Denise, I trust you enjoyed that beauty in the pot yesterday. I tell you what, it's not what we say, but what we do that matters, isn't it? So in the book of Mark, we've been talking about what we do that matters. Where's Sabrina? Sabrina is here. Sabrina was transitioning from another church. We were praying for them. Now that you've come over, I'm sure we can say this. When Wing, the husband, was saying, you know, I want to come to this church, I want to grow in God or whatever, this all talk. It's what you do that matters. And I think one of those things that really, to me, impressed upon me was that when we were having all these services done, was it not a point in time whereby he was running F1 last year in Europe? He was dialing in for Zoom in US time when we are here at 5 p.m. So Karen, this Wing guy was dialing in from don't know which, and the wife, you all hold the record for the fastest people I get to go into the church chat. Now that you're in, I asked straight away in. So I'm so excited that you guys are joining us. Okay, guys, let's pray. I really want to pray for Ukraine. I hear so many stories. After a while, I read the history, so I get a bit confused. All the historical parts about Russia, whatever. I want to just tell us to pray. When we pray, we ask the God of peace to come. He's the God of peace. When you pray, imagine yourself to be part of the Ukrainian church. And actually, Ukrainian church and Singapore church, we're still the Church of Christ, right? Can you imagine if you're attending service in Ukraine now and you're in the capital, Kiev, and out there you could hear explosions in the background? How would you feel? So when we pray together, can you agree with us and we empathize with our brothers and sisters in Ukraine? And we ask God to just be merciful and just come. Is that a good prayer to make? Let's pray together to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We pray for the country of Ukraine, the independent republic that you have established, I think since 1991. Lord, be with the leaders. Be with all the world leaders as well. I hear of talks of negotiations and the talks between Russia and Ukraine. Father, we ask, oh God, that something good will come out of this. We pray for your peace. We pray for your agenda. We pray that God's will be done even as we come into unprecedented times. We pray that, Lord, the peace will be manifested in no more bloodshed, and that, Lord, the people and the powers that be will come to the table and something constructive will take place. So we pray for our brothers and sisters and the people in Ukraine. We pray, Father, that you be with them so that when they hear the shellings, be it in the daytime or the night, that, Lord, they will know that you are with them. So, God, we commit Ukraine to you. We ask, oh God, that as the brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ in Singapore pray, that, Lord, you hear our prayers thousands of miles away. We commit this service to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A very important announcement. We are not going to use Zoom from next week onwards. So guys, if you're on Zoom, this is the last time. I don't need to screen and look at the Zoom thing anymore. No more, okay? Finish, finito, habis. We are going to use live, YouTube from next week onwards. So if you are still going to dial in, you look out for a WhatsApp message that will come. I think I told Joe to do it, so that you will be given the link of sorts. You will be on to YouTube Live. Now, what's the difference between Zoom and YouTube Live? Oh, my goodness, I talk like some IT fellow, man. The difference between YouTube and Zoom is Zoom, we invite people, we can watch who is coming in, we admit people. But for YouTube Live, it's all systems go. So please pray for people like us, Silas and Gun, maybe more like me. When you say something, it is live. What do the Chinese say? 一元既出，驷马难追。Wow, my Chinese is not bad, Malcolm. Once you say something, you cannot pull back. And I know, and listen, I'm a lawyer, I know of people who get into trouble when you say something. So, but that's life for you. We need to be careful. So Silas, Gun, and all of us, in general, when you come to give also a testimony, can I just give some house rules? Don't talk about politics. Don't tell me you are a supporter of which party or whatever. No anti-government, no ranting, no racism, no homophobic remarks. But if you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you're only saved through Jesus, that's the truth, right? You don't derogate from that. You understand? God made man and woman, right? Unless you want to tell me God made man and woman and something, whatever in between. No, God made man and woman. Then that's fine. That's the truth. But don't go into things that will land you in hot potato. You get in trouble, I also get in trouble. And then we need a lawyer to cover a lawyer. So don't need to get there. So be careful what you say. All of us, when you want to say something negative with someone, maybe not negative, when you want to mention some stories, don't give names. Right, if you can help it. So if, for example, I talk about my problem with my eye, I should be careful not to say who my doctor is and whatever. It's not necessary. Is that clear? So when you all come to give any testimony, please also be mindful. That's what I wanted to tell you guys. Okay? Are we all right? Without further ado, Ken and Koyi and Evelyn, this church is growing. I really feel the church is growing. Don't you see more people? And then the church is also growing in the sense that everyone is growing individually. I mean, the only one that now wears Liverpool jersey is TG. Even Malcolm stopped wearing Liverpool jersey already. The kind of shirt he's wearing is like he borrowed from Silas, kind of closet kind of thing. But as we come, we know that God is in the house and the church is moving forward. People like Chris and Denise, Grab drivers, right? Saturday supposed to drive, but they sit here quiet to listen to the word of God. Where to find? I'm so excited. That's why you deserve the Beauty in the Pot dinner that you did yesterday. And people like TG and Joe, they are not only just talking about God, they're doing the work of God. For the past 2 weeks, I want to encourage, I tell people, catch people doing the wrong thing. Not catch people doing the wrong thing, catch people doing the right thing. TG and Joe, in the last 2 weeks on the Friday, they have been sponsoring. You buy the dinner, right? They buy dinner and they get the church members together and it is super good food and good fellowship. Yesterday was Chris and Denise's Beauty in the Pot. The last time I ate it was during New Year's Eve at my place. Beauty in the Pot. Eat already, very beautiful, full of pots. But as you come, something happens when we meet. I always tell people, if you can, come physically to a cell meeting, come physically for service. For the record, I am not telling you that we cancel Zoom in order to force you to come. If we wanted to force you to come, there'd be no YouTube Live, okay? So let's be very clear that this Zoom thing is because of a technical thing. We'd rather just do YouTube Live. All right? Let's pray. Father, we come before you as we come to the end of the book of Mark. May your word be with us. And I pray for those of us who are recovering from COVID, for those of us who have children who may be recovering from COVID, in Jesus' name, bless them, heal them, strengthen them, let them stand up and know that you are God and that you will watch over us. We commit all we have to you, our finances, our physical being, all the stresses at work, in Jesus' name, help us deal with them. We commit this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I told some lady that we'll finish by 6 today, so let's go. The book of Mark, I think, is important because we always catch the book of Mark talks more about what Jesus did as opposed to what Jesus said. And I think when we talk about what Jesus did, you've seen for yourself. I said we saw him having good bedside manners, and then Silas talked about him being a miracle worker, and then I think last week Gunn talked about him being a servant. All this and more, that's Jesus. But we need to identify who Jesus is. If you look at the book of Mark, and I want to just jump straight in, if you look at the book of Mark, I want to just tell you in the book of Mark, you go to Mark 8:29. It was Peter asking. It was Jesus asking Peter. If you go to Mark 8, 29, it was Jesus asking Peter, go there, please, and I want to ask you to read. Mark 8, 28, 29, 30. Jesus and his disciples, verse 27, went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? The disciples said, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. And then he turned to the disciples. Jesus turned to people like Malcolm and Clarissa and said, so what about you? Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. Guys, in the book of Mark, this is the watershed moment. Before that, they didn't know, but Peter gave the right answer. And after that, Jesus then, and God said it right, Jesus then told them that he would have to die. He predicted his death at least three times. Am I not right? But listen, it's very interesting. After Peter gave the right answer, Jesus said, verse 30, not to tell anyone about him. Do you notice something about when Jesus was dealing the healing all throughout the book of Mark? And then when he did the healing, he went to the people who were healed and say, don't tell them or don't tell them. Do you see that pattern? Hey, don't tell. It's like, for example, heal Silas of whatever fever, don't tell. Why? Have you thought about why? Philip tells me I can walk around here, right? Why is it that Jesus told the people who were healed, or they were those who were demonized, they were dispossessed, so to speak, they were healed? Why did Jesus tell them, don't tell them? Have you ever wondered why? Why? Esther, why? Why would Jesus say, don't tell? I mean, it's a good thing. Why he did something good? Why don't he show the people that this is a good thing I did? Can I suggest an answer? I think Jesus did not want people to come to him only because he's a miracle worker. On that alone, he wanted them to know that he is God and say it. Because if you are popular because of your healing capacity, people are just coming to you only for one reason. Why? You heal me. What? I come to you, I'm a leper, you come. I come to you, you heal me. So understand that Jesus wanted them to know not only of his healing capacity, but to know here and here that he's God. So when Peter said, when he was asked, Peter, what about you? Who do you say I am? Jesus, Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Savior of this world, the Son of God, the Son of Man. That's what God wanted. I don't need to heal you. I just ask you, who do you think I am? You are the Son of God. And in verse 8, in Mark 8, 31, even after that, it's interesting. Jesus then, at Mark 8, 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and so forth, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and guess what? 8, 32, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you beat that, Kurt? First Peter says, Jesus asked you, Kurt, who am I? You say, you are the Messiah. Very good. You tell Jesus you're the Messiah. But after that, when Jesus starts telling you, you know what, Kurt, I have to die, you know. Then what do? You rebuke Jesus. That's exactly what happened. Peter began to rebuke him. Interesting, isn't it? Guess what? Sometimes we may know who the person is, no? I never thought about this until just now. I was thinking about it. Three P's for you. You may know who the person is. You know Jesus, the person, right? But you don't know his plans. You don't know his purpose. I say it one more time. This is free of charge. It's not even in my slides because I just thought about it. Did Peter know who Jesus was, the person? Answer, yes. He said the right answer, right? But after that, Jesus was rebuked by Peter. My goodness. This Peter, this Jewish abing, not very educated, rebukes God. Why? Because although Peter knew Jesus, the person, he did not know the plans of Jesus. Are you with me? He did not know. If he knew, he wouldn't have rebuked him. He did not know. He knew Jesus, the person. He didn't know the plans. He didn't know the purpose. He didn't know the plans. He didn't know what was coming. But Jesus was going to do it anyway. A thought that I want to just tell all of us, even as we end with the book of Mark. Be careful. Always ask ourselves, who is this person? What's the rationale? What's his plan? What is he going to do in the days to come? Jesus, the Son of Man, was also human. He's the Son of God, but he's also human. And I want to go to Mark 14, 33 and 15, 34. He was deeply distressed and troubled. He was Son of Man. If you look at Mark 14, 33, go to Mark 14, 33. This is Jesus after telling the disciples that he's got to go and, so to speak, die. In Mark 34, he says he took Peter, James and John, verse 33, along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Guys, we have a chance. Jesus, the Son of Man, can be deeply distressed and troubled. So it is okay if you are deeply distressed and troubled. But don't be deeply distressed for too long. Some of us, I've seen too many, those divorce clients and those people who come after an accident, they get depressed. I always tell people, you know, like your father, no problem, right? But a bit depressed, for example. But there are some people who come to me, you see the eyes are glazed. Then there are some people who come, although the leg is already gone, like this one, the eyes are not glazed, got purpose, got fire. Those people, the eyes are glazed, who are depressed, very hard to be healed. Those people who, after that, still can joke like this Elvis guy today not here, it's okay lah, steady tempo lah, 还可以, now riding motorcycle already. Those people very fast get healed. It is here and here. But guess what? Jesus himself was deeply distressed. He was troubled. There's hope for all of us. He was deeply and distressed and troubled. He was confiding in the three disciples. And then he went on a little further. You look at Mark 34. My God, have you? Why have you forsaken me? This was Jesus saying it at the cross. At 15:34, this is God saying, my God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew he was going to do it. He had to do it, but he was still struggling because Jesus is human. So when we struggle, when we are stressed, I was just talking to Winnie, she says, wow, bad week. It's okay. God understands because God himself is fully human. So you must be comforted that when you're struggling, right? When your knee pain that time, Chris, Jesus also last time knee pain before. Now that's a consolation. That's something we want to keep within our heart. This Jesus, as we come to the end of Mark, he is also human. Yet, in Mark 14:36, after he said he was deeply distressed and troubled, 14:36, going a little further, 14:35, he fell to the ground, prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. That means hopefully he doesn't have to complete what he needed to do, right, Kurt? But he still said, Abba Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Actually, the fact is everything is possible. But take this cup from me. Hey, the cup is not a cup of good drink. When you talk about cup in this context, it's a cup of what? Of suffering, you understand? The cup is not a good thing here. It's a cup of suffering. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And I come today to what I want to talk about. Jesus is meekness personified. Next slide. Jesus was a servant with a mission. He would complete the task, although he struggled. He was deeply distressed. He was hoping, hey God, if don't need, actually, can don't do a lot. But if you want, I will do it. Let's go. He's a servant. He knew his mission, but he's also meekness personified. So today, as I close, I want to close Mark with this concept of meekness. When we talk about meekness, what does that mean? But Jesus is meekness personified. Why is meekness personified? Because he came out as a man. He was meekness. If you force me for a definition, meekness is power under control. He is full of power, right? Actually, if he wanted to, he doesn't have to finish it, no? But he knew he will do it. This is a God that is worth serving. When we look at the next slide, please. Thank you, Philip. When we look at definitions, most of the time, lawyers, when we do definition, for example, let's say today I talk about courage, okay? If I talk about courage today, you know what I should do? I should say, Oxford Dictionary say courage. Malcolm, courage means what? Brave, right? So if there's the word courage in the Bible, does it also mean brave? Eh, not a trick question. Answer is yes. Okay, it is. Where's Angela, my favorite? Courage means what? Courage, law. So the secular word, the dictionary word of courage, and the biblical word of courage is the same. But this is the only time, I think, and I want to flag it out for you. This is the only time there's a great difference between what you find in the dictionary for the word meekness and what the biblical meaning of weakness is. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you check the Oxford Dictionary or whatever, what's meekness? I can give you what? Is meekness negative or positive? If we think secularly, I say, Gan, you're very meek. You think I'm praising you? In that secular word, if I say, Karen, you're very meek, you know. Whatever your good friend Ms. Goh tell you to do, you do. You're very meek. Meekness here talks about being ultra-submissive. Meekness talks about here being docile. Meekness talks about being very compliant, sometimes unwilling to argue or don't give your opinion. Have you met people who don't give opinions? Well, I cannot take it. I mean, people who don't give opinions, I cannot take it. I cannot talk to people. I ask them, what's your view? No view. What's your view on Russia and Ukraine? No view. Do you think God wants us to do this? I'm not sure. No view. Meekness. Now, that's the definition of meekness as we see in the dictionary. Docile, compliant, too submissive, unwilling to argue, express your opinion. Wow, this is worse. Spineless, no back. Chinese call what are spineless? 没有什么啊? 没有骨啊? I don't know. Spineless, no backbone. I think there's some word in the Bible talks about the spine of integrity. Spineless. The dictionary says spiritless, no spirit. Ivy, no spirit. Talk to someone like bangjit, beyond bangjit, no spirit. Lifeless, macam amoeba. Nothing. So that's the definition of meekness in the dictionary. But what does the Bible say? And what do we see from the character of God that tells us about meekness? Look at the biblical and spiritual meaning. The Greek word is protes, or another Greek word is praus. Now, Greek and Hebrew, I'm not a scholar. I'm also trying to learn. But listen to me. Hebrew is for what? The Old Testament. The Greek is the New Testament. Okay? So when you check, for example, the Hebrew word, it is for the word used in the Old Testament. All things being equal. So if it's Greek, it is for the New Testament. So in this case, the word meekness is found both in the New and Old Testament. And I wanted to show you the Greek word protes means a total lack of self-pride. No pride. If, for example, you are meek in the biblical terms, you have no pride. Not that you therefore become some amoeba, but you have no pride. And if people offend you, you're okay. You can take it. To the point of lack of self-concern. You don't care about yourself. No. So what you do is you want to help other people. You don't really care about yourself. The other word is praus, discipline, calmness. When you're meek, you are calm. You are very disciplined. So actually, you have power under control. I am hoping to be one day. But half the time, I lose my temper sometimes, Winnie. When something goes wrong in the office, I lose it, Karen. And your work from home, lucky worse. When I lose it, the whole neighborhood can hear. Because I'm sitting outside there, I shout one time, no, 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 no. The neighborhood hears, yes, 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 yes. Why you do that? That's not meekness, that is losing it. Discipline, calmness means you can take something and you roll with the punches. A benevolent compassion for subordinates. And for those of us who are in leadership position, are we meek in the dictionary terms or are we meek as in the biblical terms? Meekness, so that when we deal with something, steady. A mistake is made, we deal. Kurt, those agents under you, they cock it up. What do? Kill them? Scold them? Infect them with COVID? I know some of us want to. But learn to have meekness, that discipline, calmness. Another Hebrew word, next slide. Anor, I hope I pronounce it correctly. Someone that is afflicted or bearing a heavy burden, yet willing to endure the circumstances and don't succumb to the same. Which means that when things are difficult, right? You have the discipline, calmness, you can bear the burden, you will endure it. Isn't that what Jesus did? He endured it. He had to go to the cross. Who wants to die on crucifixion on the cross? Take your legs, bend backwards, nails inside, and then your hands stretch out and die. He had a choice. He decided that he will go through with it. He was prepared to bear the heavy burden, endure the circumstances, but yet at the same time, not succumb to something. When you succumb to something, means you surrender. No? Correct? But that meekness. Now, that's the biblical meaning, not the dictionary meaning. This is the first time I see that English word used secularly in Oxford or whatever Webster dictionary is dramatically, drastically different from what you see in the Bible. Is that okay? I want to leave that as a very good thought for you as we go down the line. Now, I like to always go and let me have a bit of a drink. What meekness is not as we go down the line? So having given you some, excuse me, definition of what meekness is, Silas and I nowadays like to do it this way. Definition, what is not meekness? Yet at the same time, meekness is not being mild. It's okay. Talk softly, very mild, no views. That's not weakness. That's not meekness, not weakness. Meekness is also not being weak. Just because you are meek doesn't mean you're weak. No pun intended. Meekness is not being easily offended, regardless of what you do to someone. Don't get offended. People take pot shots at you, you can still take it. That's being meek. Meekness is someone who is not concerned about his own reputation, his rights, and he's not gunning for revenge. Never mind, Wilson. Disturb me, right? When I was younger, gun will play football. When people tackle me, right? Well, it's a bad tackle. I will remember one, you know. Kurt, do you still remember? Also. Then want to bow toe and then revenge. That means you tackle me. Well, I got this one. Make sure that before the game, I give you one back. That's not meekness. This is what we don't want to do. But now I'm so old, I want to bow toe people, so I'm scared. So I won't do it anymore. Good. Not concerned about own reputation, your rights, you don't gun for revenge. I give you a role model, Moses. Can you go to Numbers? If you have your book, if you have your Bible, you go to Numbers, and I want to just look at some role models, and of course, the ultimate model is Jesus himself. Go to Moses in relation to being meek. Numbers 12, 1 to 4, and I think you will read there, and there are lots of things that you can take from that version. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord only spoken to Moses? They asked. Has she also spoken to us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses, verse 3, important, was a very meek man. God says, the word God says here, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth. So if you want to find the world's meekest man at that point in time, his name is Moses. Moses the meek. Verse 4, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance. He asked Aaron and Miriam to come. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there's a prophet among you, I will reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But Moses, the meek, he is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face. Who's the last person that God spoke face to face with? Moses, the meek. You understand? The rest of the people you see from the Bible accounts, does God see them face to face? Answer is no. It is Moses who, because of his stature before God, the most humble, the most gentle, the most meek person, the meekest person on all the face of the earth, verse 3 says, God says with him, I speak face to face. And when I speak face to face with him, I don't play around. I don't give riddles. I speak clearly to him. He sees my form. That's Moses the meek. You understand? God tells you us that this is the standing of Moses in so far as God is concerned. Why are you then not afraid to speak against my servant? The anger of the Lord burned against them. And they had leper until Moses intervened for 7 days. This is Moses, the meekest of all the men. when he was told about marrying someone. It's like, Malcolm, you marry Clarissa, and then people will ask, come say, hey, why you marry Clarissa? What did Moses do? He did nothing. Did he take it upon himself to say, why I cannot marry Clarissa? He did nothing. He just waited for God to vindicate. That's meekness. Sometimes we take it upon ourselves, like, when people offend us, we will say, you offend me, you tackle me bad, I will come and bow to you one time. No. Moses waited for God. It was God who came and vindicated him. It was God who summoned those two and said, hey, Moses, is the guy I see face to face. I don't even appear in dreams. I don't even appear in visions. I see him face to face. He's the one who sees my form. With this fella, you want to take him on? And God's anger burned against Aaron and Miriam. That is Moses, a role model. God rebuked the accusers. Moses did not have to justify himself. It was left to God to vindicate. Sometimes, I don't know how you are, but when we are meek, we're supposed to let God do it for us. The revenge is not ours to take. In the corporate world, very difficult. In football field, lagi jalan. Pain, I want to whack you back. Huh? But that's meekness for you. That's something I think we want to think about as we go on in life. This is Moses for you. But yet at the same time, I don't want you to think, therefore, that Moses is someone that is only, in the sense, very meek, very mild, doesn't take offense. But let me go down the line further. The next slide. He refrains from revenge, or from being defensive. He waits for God to come through for him. He absorbs the adversity and the criticisms without lashing back. He did nothing. But guess what? It was also Moses, the guy in Exodus, when he came down with the commandments, right, the tablets. What did he see? Aaron down there, what did they do? They wanted to worship God, they say. So what did they do? They form idols, right? So when Moses came down, Moses, the meek man, you think meek means what? No temper? You mean meek means smile? No, man. He was so fed up. He was the one who exhibited righteous anger. When he came up with Mount Sinai, he threw away the tablets. Can you imagine? The tablets given by who? By God. So God sees him face to face and gives him the tablets. It was very interesting. God gives him the tablets and then he brings down. When he brings down, he sees that Aaron and those people were worshipping idols. What did he do? He threw the tablets away. I was thinking, if I'm a meek man, when God give me the tablet, I won't throw, right? I will still put it to one side. Then I scold you or you silence me. I told you to wait for me. Why you want to wait? I put down the tablet first. He took and he threw. After that, did God give him new tablets? The iPads? Yes. Amazing. Do you see the interplay? Meek doesn't mean no spine. Meek doesn't mean no spirit. Meek no means that you know what battles to take. Meek means that if you don't get too offended, you don't get too easily offended, but when some positions you need to take, you will take. Righteous anger. He threw the tablets down. And of course, the rest of it is history. What he said to Aaron and the rest of the Israelites. So I think you need to understand what meekness is, even as we look at this person. Matthew 5:5 is interesting. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We talked about Beatitudes about a few months back when I talked about it. I want you to just understand this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Think with me. When we are here on earth, Janice, question, who does the earth belong to? It doesn't belong to us. You know. Who does it belong to? God formed it, right? The most we can do is to inherit. But it is not for us to take. It doesn't belong to us. If God gives to us, we will receive. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We don't own it unless God gives us the inheritance. Blessed are the meek. They will be the ones that will inherit the earth. Psalms 37:11 says, the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. I want you to go, and I don't have it on screen, but I ask you please to go to Psalm 37. If you go to Psalm 37, quickly go there. Psalm 37 verses 5 to 8 and then 9 and 11. Think with me, I'm trying to run a bit faster. The people of God, listen. Psalm 37 verse 11 says, the meek shall possess the land. So if you are meek, what do? we will, it is a parallel to Matthew, right? Because Matthew says the meek shall inherit the earth. Here Psalm 37 says the meek shall possess the land. That's verse 11. But verse 9 also says those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land. Are you with me? Verse 9 says those who wait on God, you shall possess the land. But verse 11 says the meek shall possess the land. So if you marry verse 9 and 11 together, can I suggest to you, the people who are meek, you will wait for God. Got it? The meek are the people who will wait for God, and they shall possess the land. If you marry 9 and 11 together. And if you look at verses 5 to 8, this will tell you a picture of how a person is when you wait for God. So guys, when we make decisions, when we are meek, we have power under control, right? Actually, a lot of us have authority, isn't it? Being as parents, as whatever. But we have that meekness, we have that authority, control. We wait on God. And as we wait on God, He will speak to us. Then we move. Then we make decisions. So verses 5 to 8, I don't have it here. If you have your Bibles, you look at 5 to 8, there'll be some nuggets there that will tell you what are the things you need to look out for. And I'll show you now my next slide. The things that you want to look out for in verses 5 to 8, I'll tell you, I'll read it for you. Verses 37, 5 to 8. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your vindication as the light and your right as the noonday. Be still before Him and wait patiently for Him. Fret not over himself who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. If you read verses 5 to 8 of Psalms 37, I gave you TCSS down there. Number one, the meek will inherit the land, right? People like you, Ivy and Gan, all of us who are meek as we come before God, Penny, if we are meek, we possess the land. What are the habitual traits you need to have? You need to trust in God. Number one, you need to commit your ways to Him. Trust in Him. And the Word of God says, and He will act. When you trust in God, He will act for you. You don't need to do anything. When Moses was offended, did he whack Aaron and Miriam? He didn't. It was God who came and did it for him. You understand? Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth vindication to the light. The next word says, be still before Him. So the next one, S, still. Some of us cannot be still. Some of us don't spend quiet time. Some of us cannot read the Bible. Some of us cannot even sit still, full stop. That's a problem. And in this Singapore, another S, everything is running so fast. We've got to find that time to be still before Him. Because Psalms 37 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait for Him. He will come true. Fret not yourself over Him who prospers in His way. Because sometimes we want to move fast, you know why? When you're going to seek revenge, right? Because someone is doing better than you. Someone did something evil to you, so you want to take revenge. God says, no, be still, wait, don't worry about those who prosper in their ways over the man who carries out evil things. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Don't take it upon yourself to do revenge. That's why I say steady. I mean here, steady tambo. I always tell people in stress, a steady tambola. So stressed for what? How many lives you have? Are you a cat? You got 9 lives on earth. Only one life. Steady. God will take care of you. Trust Him. Commit your ways to Him. Be still and wait. The word patiently is there. Be still and wait patiently for Him. He will deliver us. That's someone that's meek. And God will come true. He will help us. I'm speaking all to myself. Half the time, because lawyer, we want to turn things around. We want to fight. Sometimes I just hold myself and don't do something. I feel like saying something. Never mind. Nowadays, when I want to lose it in my firm, I tell my colleagues, hey Janice, I'm very fed up now. I think I better not say anything because I say something I will regret. Can you all wait for a while? Give me 1 minute. I say, I take a toilet break. When I go to toilet break, I'll be praying in tongues, so we come back. Say, okay, now I can talk. Don't do something you will regret. That's not meekness. Yet meekness also doesn't mean don't do anything, correct? So can we get a balance, right? So that we're seen to be the meek person that God will use. That's why I say, don't wait too long and do nothing. Meekness doesn't mean, oh, meek, never mind lah, God, I'm not offended, never mind lah, come, come. Yep, slap me, come. Slap, slap. Penny, now slap on the left cheek. Slap, slap. Come, duck, sit on my head, shit on me. That's not it. But don't wait too long. When God tells you to act, and He will, then you move. That's meekness. That's leadership for you. Am I making sense? I always tell people, our lives should be one whereby when God tells you to move, you just move. But when God never tells you to move, you don't move. He will tell you to move when He tells you to move, then you move. If not, wait patiently for Him. Then He say, move, move. Very easy to live like that. You're under orders. You'll make it. Okay? So I wanted to just leave that as a thought to you. The meek will wait upon the Lord. James 1:19-21, if you go to the book of James, quick to hear, slow to speak. This one is not the word of God, but I put it down bracket. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Doesn't mean, I don't mean speak slowly. Silas, 你今天好吗? I mean slow to speak as in don't talk so fast, but speak. Quick to listen, very quick. When someone wants to, and lawyers should be like that, right? Quick to hear, don't talk. And sometimes I struggle because when I'm running something, I want to, I don't even let you talk. Wilson, that day, right? I almost lost my patience to you. I apologize. He came to see me, I almost lost it. Can you feel it? I was a bit impatient. I apologize in front of everyone. Those on YouTube Live see it. I am really sorry. I lost it. Sometimes we are too quick to speak. Too slow to listen. The other way around. You understand? Be quick to hear. Denise, don't talk so much first. Listen first. After listen already, then speak. But slow to speak. Let God wait upon Him. Maybe He'll tell you something. Then you speak. Slow to anger. Sometimes when we hear something, wah, boom. Make a judgment call. Pa. Lose your anger. But it does not mean that you cannot be angry. Did I not say the last time? I said, right, let's say, for example, today you come in, Karen, you see, wow, two times, wow, this church not bad. The third time you come in, let's say next year you come, you know what happened to this place? Became a casino. Nice table here and there. Everybody having, and then the people, the croupiers are me, Malcolm, oh, come, let's play bakwa, whatever. What will you do? Oh, meek, not angry, it's okay. God, I go home now. No, man, you should be righteous anger. Say, guys, what are you guys doing? What did Jesus do when the temple, when the tables were all there? He? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and receive, and this is interesting, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. I want to go back to that later. Which category are you? My next slide. Are you someone who don't like to listen to people? Especially those in authority. I struggle. I don't like to listen to people. I get very sian when I listen to people, Janice. Because I listen too much. 30 years of lawyer, listen. Sometimes I just want to talk. Then I'll say, wait. Karen will know. I'll tell people, wait. I'm talking. Can you wait? That's not good, right? Because we're supposed to be quick to listen, slow to speak. So which category are you? Don't like to listen to people, especially those in authority, or you are those who are quick to listen, slow to speak, realize your own limitations, eager to listen. When you listen, you're learning something. And when you listen, you consider contrarian views for the word of God. He receives it with meekness. That's paraphrasing James for you. Can I give you four L's? And maybe today, this is a good time. And I'll finish my slides. I'm insisting on finishing on six. We learn to listen. People who are meek, you listen, you learn. Correct? You listen, you learn, and when you lead with limitations. You know, I always tell people, you know, I don't know whether you book thing. Wow, we are leaders, we got a vision, all. But guess what? We're all limited people, no? Is it possible that we lead with limitations? Is it possible that as Christians we say we lead, but we are limited? If you think like that, you're okay, no? But of course, don't go to drugs and say, I'm so limited, I do nothing. No, lead with limitations because you know that you are only human, that God will help you, but you lead with whatever you have, but you are still limited. Do you have all the wisdom you need in this world? Absolutely not. But God gives you enough. And when you work with God together, He will make it happen. you lead with limitations. Is that a new concept? Maybe it's new to all of us. I'm thinking about it too. You learn to listen, don't talk so much, quick to listen, and you listen, you learn, and then when you lead knowing that you are limited. But God is able to use people like that. James 3:13-17. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. This is a very interesting term, right, Silas? Meekness of wisdom. So, can I suggest to you, the wise are also the meek. Truly. James 13:17. Who is wise and understanding among all of us? By his or her good life, let him or her show his works in the meekness of wisdom. People who are meek are wise. Proverbs 11:2 says, proud men end in shame, but the meek become wise. What is wisdom? Wisdom from above, verse 17, next slide please, is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, open to reason. I want to highlight, meekness is about being open to reason. If people reason with you, you listen. Meekness and reasonableness. Stand up for what is right. Next slide, please. Stand up for what is right. Appealing and subject to a standard of truth that is over us. And be prepared to give your reasons for it. Listen and I'll end. When you are meek, you are able to listen, you're learning. But there comes a point in time, people of God, that you will need to take positions. Is that clear? You cannot say, oh, I'm meek. Daniel say, oh, listen. Okay, listen. Quick to listen. Don't talk so much. And then when people ask you, gun any opinion? Oh, no opinion because I'm mild, I'm meek. That's not it. It is listening and then open to reason. But there comes a point in time all of us need to take a position. And that's the problem with some of us. We don't. You need to take a position and be prepared to state your reasons for it. If Malcolm says, I believe that a marriage is between God and man, and this I can put in live YouTube because that's the word of God. What else do you want? Marriage between something else? An Australian lady in a bridge? A man and a dog? And stand by your reason. May you get the balance of meekness right. Open to reason, but once you come to a point in time, you must come to a morality and a truth level, right? That law that is above us, but that law that doesn't change. And where do we get our laws? And where do we get our truth? The Word of God. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reasons for the hope that you have. When people ask us, Kurt, and then when we are believers, right? And if people go to Zach, you're now sergeant in the army. Why you believe in God? We must be able to give a reason. And give a reason. Always be prepared to give a reason for everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. The meek will defend the gospel, what it stands for, and the values. Moses, when people tekan him and say, why you marry Cushite? He did nothing. God vindicated him. But when those people started to worship idols, what does the word of God say? Oh, when I'm not, when you can't see me, it's okay. Go and put up your own idols. Absolutely not, right? So he was so pissed when he came down. He threw away the tablets. The very tablets that God gave him is like a prized possession, right? Wow, God give me tablet. He sees so fed up, threw away. But did God understand? He did. That's why God gave him fresh tablets. I thought that was quite funny. But that's God. And that's what we need to do as believers. Be meek. Don't get it wrong. That balance must be struck. When do we take a position? When do people like Silas and I as elders, when do you say, this is the position we cannot change? You can open to reason, listen to people, but we will have to take a position, right, Silas? This is the position. That's the word of God. How to change? Cannot change. We answer to God, no. But some things can, right? I mean, from now on, lights too dark, can we go to a bigger room? All these can talk. But marriage between man and woman can change? Cannot. Should not. Will not. That's the word of God. I want to invite Jasmine and Karen to just come as we begin the time of worship. I've come to the end. Next week, I want to continue about this. And I want to look at Jesus himself. the ultimate model. But I show you first Moses, and I show you some of the things that we come. Mark 8. Jesus at 27 says, on the way he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? The disciples said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. You know that in some other faiths, Jesus is known to be a good man. He's one of the prophets. But what about you, Malcolm? Who do you say I am? And Sabrina will say, God, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And as we come, and as we sing before the Lord, we must recognize that He takes the highest honor in our meekness as we imitate Jesus, the ultimate role model. May we get it right. May we not only know that He is God, like Peter said, but like I said, go on to know God the person, but God His plans and God His purposes. Jesus shall take the highest honor. I invite you to just stand before the Lord.
Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all love join heaven in exalting. We which is above.
Sing to Him.
Honor and blessing and power
belongs to Him.
Belongs to you. Belongs to you. Oh, honor and blessing and power belongs to you. Belongs to you. Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God.
Jesus, you'll take the highest honor. Sing to the Lord Jesus Himself. Jesus.
Jesus shall take the highest honor. And Jesus shall take the highest praise.
Honor to Him, sing to the Lord Jesus more.
Honor and blessing and power belongs to you. It belongs to you. Oh, honor and blessing
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Son of the Lamb. Oh, all honor and blessing and power belongs to you. Belongs to you. Oh, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of the Holy God. God to whom all praise. I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. I stand in holy God to whom all praise is due. I stand for all honor and power. Jesus Christ, Son of the Lamb, for all honor and blessing and power. Jesus Christ, Son of the Lamb, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Lamb, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God.
Can you raise the hand before the Lord? I pray for you in Jesus' name. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And in your heart and your spirit, will you tell the Lord, Lord, you are the Messiah, the meekest Lord that I know, the God who paid the ultimate price. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, a spirit not of timidity, but of power, but of life, and of meekness. So that, Lord, they will do the work of the kingdom. So, Lord, bless them, release your anointing upon their lives, and for those who do not yet know you, may this be an open door to the heart, so that, Lord, they will know you in the days to come. The Lord bless you. The Lord give you meekness. The Lord give you a framing of your mind so that whatever you do, all honor, all glory goes back to the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord's face shine upon you. The Lord's radiance be enough for you. The Lord's disposition, the Lord's prompting, so that whatever you do for Him in the days to come, it will be only for Him. So Lord, mark us out for people that will stand out in the marketplace so that we will do things that will glorify your Son's name. Father, we thank you. Messiah God, thank you for this day. Release them back to the families, and church begins on a Monday for them. May they be a blessing. For those who travel, may journey mercy be upon them. For those who are still recovering from COVID, Lord, heal them and their children as well. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.